Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
We are outside PNC Arena, where game two between the Canes and the Islanders will be taking place later on tonight. And I can tell you this. They are aware that they are 1/16th of the way.
They are 1/16th of the way.
Right to our right. We're right outside PNC Arena between Carter Finley and PNC. They've painted the areas where you put the warning flags. Mm-hmm. There are 16 squares.
Yep.
They have filled in the first one. They are 1/16th of the way. And guess what happens with 16?
You hoist the cup.
That's when you hoist the cup. Counting down to a first round victory or an appearance anywhere. They're counting down towards winning the whole thing. And I love it. The Canes are up 1-0 in the first round. And my favorite part about it is they're not happy with it, right? There's a lot of ways they could have played better. It's in a lot of ways exactly what I asked of them. And what I mean by that is I asked them for their Kobe Bryant response. I literally talked about this last week. I literally said after they win game one or game two, after they go up 3-0, if anyone is smiling and someone, hey, or isn't smiling, and a media were to ask, hey, you're up 2-0, or hey, you won game one, why aren't you smiling? I want the answer to be something along the lines of, job finished? No. Right? So there's a legendary Kobe response. I don't think the job's finished.
Job's not finished.
16 wins. That's when the job is finished. Until then, I want them to be very, very, you know, their own harshest critic, which is why I loved the response from Rod Brindamore after the game. I loved the response from Evgeny Kuznetsov after the game. I loved the general demeanor of the Canes, which was, we're not giving it back, right?
Yeah.
We won the game. We're gonna keep it. You know, we're gonna keep it at our house. But wasn't good enough. Here's Rod Brindamore after the game.
I mean, we weren't great, that's for sure. I think there's perfect example of a team that's been playing playoff hockey for a month and a team that hasn't, and it was like, whoa, and we just couldn't get going. And then I thought, you know, as the game kind of wore on, we started getting kind of up to speed with you know, how it's going to be.
That right there is a call to arms.
Mm-hmm.
That right, you can't be in the playoffs saying they're more playoff-ish than we are. That is a call to arms. That is a gathering cry. That is a hey, we better step it up. And I don't know if anybody said it better than Evgeny Kuznetsov, who, by the way, took one shot to score his first playoff goal.
Yeah.
With the Canes. He opened it up. He set the tone. He did all of that. They won the game. And then afterwards, he's still sounded like somebody with a lot to prove as a team. Here's Kuznetsov.
We gotta be better. That was unacceptable for us. And be honest, I'm not a fan of the celebrating this stuff like after one win or whatever. I gotta make sure that you know, we keep it emotions pretty even, because it's gonna be long series and it's gonna be a lot of tough moments. So we gotta make sure we control the emotions and energy.
That is where the Canes should live.
Mm-hmm.
And we won a game. And it was unacceptable for us.
It's like, you won a game. Cool.
It's not even just like, hey, yeah, we're moving on to the next one. It's no. That was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you get the win. And I say that in respect to this. And no disrespect to the Islanders. And you still have to focus on the Islanders. And you still have to win round one. They're aware that effort probably doesn't win a game in the second round, or in the Eastern Conference Finals, or in the Cup Finals if you get there.
Why not even win you this series? Let's be
true,
real.
True.
Why
you
not
turn
even
in,
win you this series?
You turn in seven of those, you might be kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
So that's where the unacceptable comes from. I wanted that response after that game, right? I mean, Freddie bailed him out a little bit. Let's go ahead and give Freddie his flowers.
Call it what it is.
He played really gosh darn well. But, you know, they had gone 12 minutes with two registered shots. Like, there were very uncharacteristic things of the way the Canes have been playing. And because you win, you get the context. right? If it's a loss, it's just a loss. It's a disaster. You get really upset. You try to fight your way out of it. But with the win, you have to have the win with context, right? It's one of those games that the more I talk about this, the more you zoom out, the more you have to work on, right? Because when you're zoomed way in, when you have to tell the story of the game in three sentences, mm-hmm. you say the Canes won. And you're like, all right, cool. Zoomed all the way in, looks pretty good. You zoom out a little bit, it's like the Canes won, but they got outshot pretty considerably.
Yeah.
You zoom out even further, the Canes won, but, you know, Freddie had to bail them out, and they scored one early, then went on a long scoring drought until the third. There were a few points where, you know, the Islanders rang the post or had opportunities that they didn't take advantage of. The further and further you zoom out, the more and more work there is for the Canes. The best news of it is you got the win, and you get to go improve on it. Right. You now it's a series. Now you have to go in and play. And that's what I'm looking for tonight. If after tonight, Rod Brind'Amour is saying they looked more like a team that's been playing playoff hockey than we have, I start to get mad.
Yeah.
Game one, it's like, as long as you recognize it, I'm cool. As long as you have the proper sentiment, I'm all right with it. If you don't fix it between game one and game two and get on that treadmill set to high, then you start to look around and go, what the heck's going on? Right, there's too many veterans. There's a reason why you brought in Kuzi. There's a reason why you brought in Guentzel. There's a reason why this is the group you've decided to run with, and it's because you have the mix of Canes culture, been here before with the Canes. You brought in two other guys with massive amounts of postseason success at previous stops. You mix that all together. You can't have two games like you had in game one, even though it's a win.
And throw Orlov into the mix, too. He was on that team in 2018 with Kuznetsov in Washington. Because here's the thing. Kuznetsov, like you mentioned, he's been there. He's done it.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Guentzel. Been there, done it.
And have the hardware.
And yeah, they have the hardware. Their name is etched on the cup. You know, like, yeah, I know Jordan Staal, his name's on the cup, but that was way early in his career.
And by the way, Jordan Staal can pass along every there's nothing that like Guentzel can say that Staal can't. Like, mm-hmm. I still want Staal to say, this is what it's like, this is what you need to do. And he needs to be one of the guys in the locker room after game one going, great win, celebrate every win with a hard. However,
yeah, but
with that big change into here's what we need to do, here's what we need to do to get better.
And I know it was Brady Shea and Freddie Anderson were at the podium post game mm-hmm. talking to the media. You could tell they were kind of like, yeah, we won, but there's a lot to improve upon, which I guess you say is a good thing because the Islanders came out firing.
Yep.
Like they threw their fastball, and guess what? Walked away with an L. And so I think that's got to be also the thing if you're Carolina. It's like, wow, you ramp up your game to match their intensity. Watch out.
I love stealing a game. I love having the ability to steal a game mm-hmm. where you don't bring your A game because obviously it's a disaster if you lose and you don't bring your A game. You can salvage it with the win, which is what they did, right? You can be outplayed for 20 minutes in the middle of the game and still win. That's a sign of a good team. It's just not something you want to become used to or depend on or make it your norm.
You don't want to settle for it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, as long as you're mad, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't
as long as you're
it.
Appropriately mad about it, I'm good. And as long as you appropriately walk into the stadium and see that there's 15 flags that still need to go in, I'm good. Right. Cause as we've said from the very beginning, it is Stanley Cup or bust for this Canes team. It's not win one game in the first round to open your postseason or bust. That doesn't sound as good. It doesn't fit as good on a t-shirt.
All business tonight.
All business.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that $1 million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal.
Mike Maniscalco, he is on the Heister Automotive Group hotline at the moment, so we're going to bring him on before he gets ready for what is sure to be another exciting call. Mike, we appreciate you for jumping on the Heister Automotive Group hotline and we'll start with the guy we were just talking about, Freddie Anderson. What has he been doing that has made him so darn good since he's gotten back from the long absence he had there?
You know, the funny thing about that, I don't think he's doing anything differently than what he did before. But how he tracks the puck and how he never seems to put himself out of position for a man his size, you know, 6'4", 200, he just moves so fluidly. There's no wasted motion to what he does. You know, sometimes big guys can be clunky in the net, and he's not at all. He is just really fluid. And how he's been able to track the puck and be able to – the other part of it for me is battle, is make some of those big saves. We saw it against the St. Louis Blues when he robbed Zach Dean, and I thought that was the save of the year. And then he comes back and does one even better against Noah Dobson in game one in the second period. But he's got that compete with him, and I think that he's just relaxed playing goal. And I know when we talk about the playoffs, we talk about you got to heighten up the intensity. I just think his heartbeat never gets above like 60, and I think that he's really having fun playing goal with everything he went through this regular season to get back into the net. So I think he's just taking the crease and running with it and taking it literally just one play at a time. I can give you a couple more cliches if you want, but that's what I've noticed for him, that he really, I think it's just, this is just a game now. So just go out and play it and have fun while you do it.
How much of that may have sprung from he and Pyotr Kochetkov going kind of the one game rotation, and then with the expectation that that's not the way that's going to roll, or at least maybe an assumption on my part that that's not the way it's going to roll in the postseason. Is there any concern that he gets thrown off rhythm a bit?
No, I don't think so, because I think with all of the time that he missed, generally this time of year with a goalie, you worry about overuse. You worry about how much the workload that a goaltender had during the regular season. You don't have to worry about that with Frederik Andersen. And the weird thing, just how the rotation worked out, is you had Frederik Andersen was the home goalie and Pyotr Kochetkov was the road goalie, you know, in the nine games down the stretch that Freddie Andersen got to play in. So, no, I don't think that you have to worry about it at all. I think, one, whenever you have two goaltenders who both want the net and are playing at the level that both of these goalies are, I think that's only a good thing because that gives you a chance to win every single night. But I don't think that there's any of this, like, looking over the shoulder, which sometimes you get in a goaltending competition. I don't think there's anything with that. And I've said this before, and I know it sounds like, you know, state news by me saying this. Whatever the Canes want to do in goal, I don't think there's a wrong answer because the rotation clearly worked from when they got Frederik Andersen back with Pyotr Kochetkov. But if they want to put the saddle on Freddie Andersen and say, you're our playoff goalie, they can do that too. And, I mean, I'm with you. I haven't heard anything different. I expect to see Frederik Andersen here tonight play. And if, like I said, if anything, it's one heck of an insurance policy to have a guy who won 23 goals and he's still classified as a rookie netminder sitting on the bench if you need him to get in.
Hey, Mike Maniscalco, this is Dennis Cox. Real quick, why have teams in the past may have been hesitant to go with the goalie rotation in the playoffs?
Well, hey, Dennis Cox, one of the reasons why is because you want to get a goalie in rhythm. Like, that's what it all comes down to. And you hear all the time, you know, the hot hand. Good God, I just realized in this interview, and I've been doing this for how many years, the NHL playoffs is nothing but cliches when it comes to goaltending.
yeah.
You know, you want to ride the hot hand. You want to go with the guy who brought you there, so to speak. And I think it's just because in the past there was always the mindset of, you had a number one goalie, and then you didn't have a 1B. You had a number two goalie. You had a backup who was going to play about 25 games maximum a year, and you were going to have your number one goaltender play between 57 and 62 games. So I think that's why. And the other reason why, Dennis, and I've said this before because people kind of freaked out last year at the notion of you could go with a goaltender rotation. Well, nobody's ever won with it. Well, that's right. Nobody's ever won with it. That means somebody's going to have to. And the way that the position is laid out now across the National Hockey League, you got a couple of teams that are really good that had a goalie rotation. Take a look at the Boston Bruins. Jeremy Swayman was outstanding in game one against Toronto. And there's a lot of talk that he's not going to be the netminder in Boston against the Toronto Maple Leafs here tonight. So, you know, you take a look at it. It's always a thing. It's always an issue. There's always hand-wringing until somebody does it. I think if you go back traditionally, it's the way we view lines. You know, there's a scoring line and maybe two scoring lines. Then you've got a checking line, and then you got an energy line full of guys who hit. Well, that's not how lines are built anymore. That's not how any of it's done. So I think that the perception's changed, Dennis. And now the other reason, and this is going to be blunt, and there's going to be a lot of former NHL goalies, if they're listening to this, I apologize in advance. But there was a drop-off between your number one goaltender and your backup goaltender.
Yeah.
Now goaltending across the league is so good with not just your top two guys in the NHL, with guys who are sitting waiting to play in the minors or overseas to come over and play in the NHL. Goaltending has just gotten that much better the last 20, 25 years.
Mike Maniscalco, voice of the Canes, connecting with us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Mike, how did the Canes make sure they don't go on that shots on goal drought again like they did in the middle of game one that had everybody so so concerned?
You know, it's one of those things. Can I use a football term for you?
Oh, yes. I love it.
All right. It's hidden yardage that was here. It's not that the Canes, yeah, they didn't get shots on goal, but you got to credit the Islanders with blocks because the Canes were attempting shots. They just were either getting blocked by the Islanders or they were, you know, according to the statisticians, they were off target by a foot or two. So they had shots on goal. Because I remember looking at the end of the second period going, I know I said that the Canes shot more than, you know, four or five times than what's out there. And I think part of it is you take a look at this Islanders team, they are really good at getting in front of the puck and blocking it. So how do you get the puck on net? I think you just can be patient a little bit more. Or the second, and there's no books on anybody anymore, but the second you get the puck, you let it go. You hear the shoot first mentality. Don't allow the Islanders to square up in front of a shot. You either get the shot away quickly, or maybe you have a little patience and make that extra pass to get it to a guy who's in a better shooting zone, a shooting slot for you, to get the puck through on the netminder.
Two guys that know a lot about that, Kuznetsov and Gensel, the new guys. We've been kind of tracking this idea of, like, what's different this year for the Canes in the past couple when they've come in with a lot of momentum and everything else into the postseason. I know it's just one game, but I mean, it's hard not to look at it with Kuzi scoring so quickly. Yeah. Did the team feel different at all with those two guys contributing to the forwards?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing that you have to take a look at, and you can't ignore it for this postseason, is the team is healthy for the most part. No Jesper Fast, and he's one of those guys who does a lot of things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but as good as in board battles. But I don't think you could have scripted it any better for if this team was to go out and bring in two proven playoff players to help this group get over the hump, Tim, to help them get into the Stanley Cup final, which is the only place they haven't been in the playoffs the last 6 years, to bring in Evgeny Kuznetsov and have him score the first goal on the power play. Oh, yeah, you can definitely feel that it's different. And, you know, sometimes the thing that had become the cliche or the meme or the absolute, you know, poison for Canes fans online where they were hearing, we like our group, they were never talking about, they're talking about the core that has gotten them here. And, you know, this is a group that can get us to this point. Well, now they've added these two weapons to that group to make them even better. And I think the Gensel thing was an absolutely huge move because you all know what he can do in the postseason. His numbers are there, and what he does in the regular season. And by the way, watching him every game, you realize just how good Jake Gensel is in every phase of the game. You know, he's a coach's kid, and the way he plays the game is the right way. And then there's Evgeny Kuznetsov, who, you know, happy-go-lucky. I think he understands where his place is on this team and what his chances are left in the National Hockey League. And he was really, you know, funny to be around in the regular season. But now it's the playoffs, and it's about winning. And he kind of flipped the switch, and he knows what it takes to win a cup. And you have those guys in a room with Jordan Staal, who's won one, with Teuvo Teravainen, who's won one, Dmitry Orlov, who I think we forget about, who was brought in this offseason. He was the number one defensive free agent who was out there, but he won a cup. You have those guys in there, but then you have these two into the mix with a group that's hungry for it. Yeah, it made a difference in the room, Tim, for sure. And I think that as this series moves along, you'll see it make even more of a difference on the ice for what those two players can do.
Mike, before we let you go, last one here. For fun, we're doing a little competition here. Who scores the first goal for the Canes and in what period? Do you have any insight for us?
I always hate doing this, Tim, because as you know, in our positions, we say something, and then somebody takes this and responsibly will do something with it, and then they'll get mad at us when it doesn't happen. You know what? I'm going to go with Jake Gensel gets the first goal here tonight, and it'll be in the first period.
Love it.
Love it. Great, great pick, great insight, and have a great call, Mike. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks. Glad I could jump on.
Are you ready to buy or sell your home?
The Jim Allen Group is a nationally recognized and award-winning real estate team in the Triangle, dedicated to providing exceptional service to meet your needs. With the latest insights and expert market knowledge, they'll make your home buying and selling journey as smooth as possible. Don't wait. Head over to jimallen.com and start your next move today. That's jimallen.com. The Jim Allen Group, your partner in real estate.